I am Plant Online. This is thecommentary.ca. Playwright Michelle Rimmel joins me now. Her latest play, Poster Boys, is playing at the Arts Club's Granville Island stage until the 26th of April. It is the story of Caroline, who casts her ex-fiancé and his new boyfriend in a bank ad she's putting together. It explores love, marriage, and the fear of flying humorously, and examines how advertising insinuates itself into the most personal corners of our lives and how authenticity is often manufactured. We'll discuss the play and more. Artsclub.com is the website where more information can be found, and as well as how to buy tickets. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Michelle Rimmel. Good morning, Ms. Rimmel.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Is this a bust-out comedy, your play?
Bust-out comedy. You know, honestly, I don't think it's a bust-out comedy. I was concerned that it was more of a drama with some comedic moments, but the response from the audiences have been affirmative in the comedy direction.
Your previous play, Sexy Laundry, I hadn't seen that, but that's obviously been a big success. That's more, I guess, that was more of more a comedy, I suppose.
Yes, I would call that laugh-out-loud comedy.
This direction to sort of a dramatic comedy, was this the subject matter? Is this an area that you're pursuing more and more in your career?
Well, I think that this play is reflective of my voice. I think there's still the humor in it. But when I wrote Sexy Laundry, I'd also written another play called Rage, which was a tragedy. There's absolutely no comedy in it. That won the Sydney Risk Prize for Best New Play that year, and I feel like Poster Boys sits somewhere in the middle between Sexy Laundry and Rage. It's a comedy, but it's more dramatic, and I would think, yes, that it is more of the direction I'm going in now.
The play came about how? I guess you'd read an article in the newspaper about Van City's campaign.
Well, actually, what happened was that at the time I worked in advertising. I was working at Gray Advertising, who actually created the campaign for Van City. I wasn't a part of creating the campaign, but I was in and around it. And I was grocery shopping one day, and I saw on the front page of the Vancouver Sun that the Catholic Church had pulled the funding to a children's banking program because they didn't like this ad, I guess, was the catalyst for that. They didn't like the agendas. That was their word that Van City was supporting. And it kind of shocked me, and at first it made me, you know, quite angry and just seemed silly to me. But I jotted it down, and I thought, oh, that's sort of a something I might want to write about. And then I didn't want to write from a place of anger or reaction. I mean, anger is a good way to start, but it doesn't keep me going. So
right.
I started to explore the characters more, and Poster Boys evolved out of that, but that was the genesis of it.
These characters, I guess the three main characters,
yes.
Well, actually there are four characters, but the three that stand out are Caroline.
Yes.
Do you see yourself in her at all?
Oh, for sure. I mean, because I worked in advertising, I understand her sense of, like, the pressure on her to come up with new ideas and things like that. I know what that feels like. But I don't think I'm as dramatic, and I'm probably not as smart as Caroline either. But, you know, she's a 40-year-old woman. I'm a 40-year-old woman. She's under the pressures of, you know, popular culture to look a certain way and behave a certain way. And so in that way, for sure, I relate to Caroline and her dilemma.
Are there pressures on you to sort of to create plays that are sort of popular, I guess, in for audiences? Do you feel that pressure as a writer?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really good question, because I did actually have to work through that with Poster Boys, having come off the success of Sexy Laundry, you know, and then going into the Arts Club again with an Arts Club audience that I felt there were expectations, you know, to create. Well, in fact, it was even marketed that way, that Poster Boys was the follow-up to Sexy Laundry, and it you know, it wasn't. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but it is sort of like having a child, in that, you know, each child is unique, and I knew that Poster Boys was going to be its own thing. So it was a good day, the day that I just decided, like, this is not, you know, Sexy Laundry Part 2. This is what it is, and I'm going to have to put it out there and let it be that, and let people judge it based on that, not on some, you know, connection to Sexy Laundry. But, you know, I have an ego, and I want things to be successful, and so, of course, yeah, I was a little worried, but I'm really gratified by the way it's been received, and sort of, in a sense, it's permission just to keep doing what I do.
Jack is Caroline's former fiancé,
mm-hmm.
and I guess she'd be jilted. culture. Is that correct?
Well, I guess that's an idea in the play. It gives it away a little bit, but yeah, that's definitely in there. That Jack, that they had a relationship, and that Jack came out, and obviously there was no relationship after that.
So the play begins with Caroline trying to come up with an ad.
Yes.
And it's her idea to feature a gay couple in the ad for a credit union, right?
Yeah, well, the credit union actually wants to do the ad, and they want to feature a gay couple, and she suggests that they use actors, and they want to use a real member. And then her, this young copywriter that she's having a fling with actually goes off and finds this guy, and it just happens to be this guy that she was, you know, intimately involved with 13 years earlier, and that's Jack. He walks into her office. She casts him in the ad and goes ahead, telling herself, I guess, that she's fine now. And then all hell breaks loose when she meets his boyfriend or partner.
And his partner, Carson,
yes.
He is a gay Catholic.
Yes, he is.
And then what does that add to the drama or the comedy of it all?
Well, what's interesting, that was the first choice I made as I moved forward with Poster Boys. I thought, well, here's the Catholic Church has a problem with gay people, and what about if I made one of the characters a gay Catholic? So then I could explore that conflict from the inside, from internally, from the character. And I actually interviewed this guy from Dignity Canada because I wanted to know how you did that, how you went about being a gay Catholic. And I guess what it adds is that it's an interesting way to look at the idea of tolerance. And there's lots of humor because he's kind of out, but he's not completely out. He hasn't really had the conversation with his mother, even though he's pretty sure she knows and stuff. So there's comedy, and there's also some really, I think, touching moments in the play as Carson starts to come out more.
Well, what do you think you're trying to say about our relationship as a consumer society with advertising?
Well, I think that advertising obviously fulfills something that we need in our culture. It gives information about, you know, products and corporations, and, you know, it can be just that. But also, I think that it's the manufacturing of desire a lot of times, and I think that it connects with that part of us that is wanting or wants to fulfill something. And it actually, you know, this whole idea of brand believers actually came out of something I was reading about Leo Burnett and how they, that's their ideas, that they create people, they want people to believe in a brand, not just to be customers. So that idea that, you know, advertising can actually create belief, it just, I don't know, I find it funny, but also kind of tragic. And it makes sense to me when I look at all the stuff and the material stuff that we're buying and trying to kind of maybe fill some sort of something that's lacking maybe spiritually or emotionally in our lives. And I fall into that. I mean, I can easily go there, too.
This is obviously subconsciously almost that advertising works this on us, correct?
Well, I think it has something to do with the subconscious, and there's an element in the play that also has to do with the subconscious, which I bring to life through the character of the woman.
Are you naturally funny?
You know what's really funny is that I can't tell a joke to save my life. Like, if I try to tell a joke, I always forget the punchline. I can't tell a joke. People just groan. But I guess what I see, I really like people, and when I see, you know, the way that we all kind of act and interact in the world, I find it funny, and I find humor through character. So in that way, and I laugh at myself a lot, when a person once asked me how come I can write characters that go through humiliation so easily, and, you know,
you've gone through it yourself.
Because I've been humiliated
so
many times.
Yeah. Do you, when you write, it's obviously a very solitary process.
Mm-hmm.
When is it that you eventually show your work to someone else, whether it be someone close to you or an agent or someone like that?
Well, I normally, prior to Poster Boys, I would just write the whole play myself, and, you know, and then I would sort of edit, and then I would give it to either, usually it's a director, because I work quite closely with Andrew McElroy, who directed Poster Boys, but he also directed Sexy Laundry and Under the Influence, or Patrick McDonald. I give it to the director that I trust, and then we start talking about it. And I actually haven't had to do tons of revisions and things, and then Poster Boys was a completely different animal in that it went through the React process at Arts Club. We workshopped it, and I probably gave a draft that was too much of an early draft to the dramaturge, because she kept saying that it was very interesting, which I sort of, after she said it about 13 times, I realized she meant it was really confusing. So I had to go back and work on it some more, but it was a good process because I got what I got out of it, but it was a little bit
refer to a dramaturge? To people that don't know what a dramaturge is, what is a dramaturge?
It's somebody that helps, really helps facilitate telling the story in the play. So I will write the play, she will read the play, in this case it was Rachel Dieter at the Arts Club, and come back with a lot of questions. In sort of drafts that are closer to being completed, they come back with edits. They can facilitate a workshop, so you have actors reading the play, and then they can ask questions of the actors. It's to help the playwright to bring clarity to the story and tell the story that they want to tell. But in the world of dramaturgy, they're still trying to figure out what it is, too. And some directors like to have a dramaturge there, and others don't, because it can just sort of confuse the issue, too. So,
do you like that process?
Which process?
Of them sort of going through your work and giving you notes and workshopping it?
I think that in this, I think it's for me, it's about the relationship with the other individual. Like, I have to trust and respect the person that I'm working with, because everybody wants to give you notes. But in this case, working with Rachel, it was good. I would, as I said before, I would have probably kept the play a little longer for myself and worked on it a little bit more before handing it over to somebody. As soon as you have another person sort of giving you their insights and questions, it starts to kind of go in different directions. So I need to be really strong. I need to know what it is I'm writing about before I start handing it away.
Does it frustrate you when they sort of misinterpret what you're getting at?
Because if they're misinterpreting, then there might be some confusion in the actual play. What's interesting is when you're doing almost like a focus group by like workshopping the play and then doing a reading for an audience, a reading of a play, like it's not up on the stage, and the audience is coming back with questions or saying, I don't see how that scene would work. If somebody gives me a note then of like, well, maybe that we shouldn't have that scene, what I will say is, yeah, but once you have actors acting it out, I can see that scene will work, and I had to stay strong about a few of the scenes that I think are some of the best scenes in the play.
Did you write plays exclusively, or do you also write short stories, novels, and that sort of thing?
I only write plays, and I've been recently approached about adapting Sexy Laundry for the screen, which I think that would be an interesting challenge, and I would like to look at doing that, but I'm a playwright, definitely.
Did you like that moniker, I guess, playwright? It seems almost lofty, doesn't it?
Well, I don't think of it as lofty only in the way that it means you're poor.
there you go.
It took me a long time to call myself a writer. I love to read, novels. I love films and everything. And it took me a long time to kind of own that. Go, okay, yeah, you're a writer too. All these plays count.
Sexy Laundry just recently played in Los Angeles for about 5 weeks, did it? It was a great success.
It's still on, actually. They held it over.
And it was a great success then, I guess.
Yeah, it's been successful, and it looks like they're going to take the play around the United States, which will be really good for me.
Do you write on a computer, or do you write on paper?
What I do is I take a bunch of notes on paper. I like to walk around when I'm initially thinking about the story and the characters, so I take a bunch of notes on paper, and then when I actually sit down to write the play, I write on a computer.
When I called you this morning, were you writing? Do you write all the time?
I don't write all the time. If I'm in a project working on something specifically, I try to show up for it every day, or 5 days a week. I also have a 7-year-old son, and I'm there for him too, so I have to balance that. And then I do freelance advertising work sometimes.
Well, when when you see the play on stage, do you do the actors that they obviously cast? You have a say in that, but
yes, I do.
Are they as you imagined them when you were in that sort of solitary process of writing them? Is that what you saw in your mind's eye?
Actually, I think in this case they're better. And it was interesting because when we cast the play, we looked at a lot of people. And when Lois Anderson came in and auditioned for Caroline, both the director and I looked at each other and just went, "Oh, that's great. This is who it is." Because she was, I was afraid with the character of Caroline that she would just be seen as kind of being a bitch. Because she's this very controlling woman, and Lois just so naturally brought the humanity to the role, so I was really pleased when we found her. And all the cast, actually, just have brought so much to it. It's really important in a new play to work with a cast that are generous and open to changes, and we changed a lot as we were rehearsing.
The play opened last week. Do you go to the opening night?
I do. I go to the opening night, and I sit in the back row.
The reaction was what? Was it as you expected or better?
Oh, definitely better. better. They laugh. I didn't know it was, you know, I was concerned it wasn't a comedy for one thing.
Right, right.
No, the reaction was great.
So, congratulations on this and continued success with the play. We'll go see it.
Thank you so much.
And yes, thanks for joining us today, Michelle.
Thank you.
The play is called Poster Boys. It's at the Arts Club on Granville Island until the 26th of April. Tickets and information can be had at artsclub.com.